The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another UAB Director's Chair. He is the athletic director of the UAB Blazers. And of course, he joins us every single week right here on Tony Curry Radio, TKR. Get that TKR app and you can hear it like 100,000 other folks do that. Of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, you can hear wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're available in every major industry, including right here on our YouTube channel, which is where I think most people actually watch us. Mark, how you doing, brother? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm excellent, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Years flying by, kind of crazy how fast time's been going on. I gotta tell you something right now. I'm missing college hoops for some reason. Normally by the end of college basketball season, I'm about ready to move on. But for some reason, I don't know why this year, I am not, it just went by too flipping fast for me. Missing something here? It just went by way too fast.
We played so well at the end of the year. It really got super fun.
Yeah.
And we were playing so well. I hated that it ended. You know, the team really started to come together the last month of the season and obviously in the tournament. And I thought, boy, that'd been fun to see them play some more. And yeah. I think the good news is, Tony, is a lot of our kids are coming back. Most of the kids are coming back. These kids are like gigantic humans, mm-hmm. these players. They're coming back. So I think we got an incredible nucleus of players that contributed to our success that'll be back in Blazer uniforms. And so hoping that, you know, the season tickets are already on sale for next season. We've had a good response and I hope we'll continue to, because I think the future is really, really bright for our team and with Andy and everybody. So we got a real opportunity to take a big step forward next year.
And don't look now, man. May's right on our doorsteps and college football. Everyone's doing their spring games. It's right around the corner, man. It's going to be exciting. Something else was around the corner was the National Recording Registry of Library of Congress Music that came out a couple days ago. I shared this with you. We're going to get into it at the latter part of our podcast, but I'm going to hear Mark Ingram's songs that made the world great.
I did not look at the list because I didn't want to be tainted.
That's perfect. These are songs. These are songs you cannot imagine the world living without. Like whether there's a personal thing for you, whether it's just like I cannot imagine the world without these songs. And for example, "Heart of Glass" from Blondie made it in the albums from the Cars called the Cars. Their first album made it in. "Dancing Queen" from ABBA, and they're certainly great songs. But if Dancing Queen never came out, I don't think the world's any different. So I don't put that, but I nothing against the National Registry. I understand that. So we'll have those songs for you a little bit later on coming up. I did see an interesting story, and you and I spoke briefly about it before we started our podcast. The House Education Committee in Louisiana has advanced a House Bill number 5 that will require all public colleges, universities, arenas, and stadiums to start accepting cash at all events. And you and I kind of went back and forth. I said, I don't really know if there's a story here, but I'm 58 years old. I always feel good when I've got a couple of $100 in cash in my pocket. Nothing's worse than when you go into a strange town and you're going to parking and they need $25 and they don't take a debit card and you have no cash on you. I like to have some cash on me. I always know what I have in my pocket. I don't like using my debit card for, you know, like a stick of gum, you know, or if I'm going to get some Sour Patch Kids, I don't like to use my debit card for something that's going to cost me $3.78 because I feel like it's just another way of getting hacked for something that's really inexpensive. I don't know. Maybe on the outside looking there.
You're still a big Sour Patch Kids fan. Is that right?
Dude, I don't know what is going on. I got 3 bags of Sour Patch Kids. I got watermelon, I got raspberry, and then I got the extreme. I want the extreme. And I think I've gained like 75 pounds in the last 3 weeks. It's the craziest thing. I'm 16 again. You know what I think it is? I think Lent, I think Lent got me, you know, I always give up sweets over Lent.
Okay.
And so I always try to back off. I always try to back off, you know, Lent, and I try to back off.
It was doing a purge, now a binge.
Yeah. And I started hitting it during Easter and the Easter basket just put me over the top. So yeah, I think.
Well, I'm with you. I like to have some cash. We don't take cash because of the opportunity. It's a security thing. And I think most sports venues, a lot of places, think the downside, as you mentioned, is, and it happens all the time, you get overcharged or somehow they charge you double or they add a zero. You know, your bill was $15 and you get charged $150. Yep. This happens. And I'm certainly not trying to make that okay. But anybody that's in the retail space has also experienced theft from their staff. You know, if you've got a cash drawer, you got opportunity to you know, deplete that cash
drawer. But I mean, but that's a security for your people, not for the fan. I mean,
that's ultimately why a lot of people do it. It's security for me and my people, but it's also nobody's going to come up, hey, give me all your money. I give you my receipts. I don't have any cash.
Yeah.
What money you want? You know, so there's that too, you know.
I don't know. I just, the Bible teaches there's going to come a time we're going to have chips in our heads. We're just going to be tapping we're already tapping cards, man. We're already tapping cards. There is a moment in time where we're all going to be on this payment plan and you can read the Bible.
Well, you're tapping your phone.
You're so tapping your phone. You're tapping something. You're
tapping your phone. Does it get to where I just put my hand on there and.
It'll be something. It'll be a chip or something, and people think we're crazy. I'm just telling you, China's already doing it. In China, they've already got this, where they have a chip inside their skin, and they just use it to pay for things, and it's super convenient. It's great. You can't get robbed. I certainly understand that. And people are like, that's ridiculous. I don't mind having that luxury. I just don't like being told I have to pay that way. That drives me crazy. When I go somewhere, and Protective's no different. I mean, every place does it. I mean, in Memphis, everywhere you go, they only take debit cards. But every time you go in, I'm thinking to myself, it'd be nice to be able to have cash. I don't like to be, it's legal, it's tender.
Here's the other thing, you know, for the vendor, there's never a question, again, reconciling at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
How much did we take in?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
We should have taken in $300 and there's only 270 here. Where's the other 30 bucks?
You know what drives me crazy? I went to Brewster's the other night. They wouldn't take my 50. And here's the thing. They wouldn't take my 50. And here's the deal. I had $47.25 worth of ice cream I was buying. It was $47.25. I gave her a 50 and she said, we don't take bills over 20s. And all I had was a 50 on me. And I said, yeah, but my bill's $47.25. She goes, I can't take anything over 20s. We don't take it. And there was a sign that says we take nothing. But a lot of businesses won't take anything over 20s. And I'm like, listen, I'm an American. I'm a patriot. This is legal tender. This says I can spend this wherever I want. I want to buy my ice cream. And so I ended up using my debit card, but it made me angry because I wanted to pay cash and they wouldn't even take my 50.
Yeah, how about that? Well, yeah, that's frustrating. And my guess is that person's been told not to accept anything.
Yeah.
They don't, because they fear that it's counterfeit or two, you're buying a $7 ice cream and you're going to get $50. And now they got to give you all this change that they don't want to have to give the change away.
Yeah.
But in that case, it giving you, you know, a couple of dollars back in change would not have been hard. And I'm sure that you say it was a young lady, young man, whoever it was, probably didn't even consider why is it we can't take the 50.
Yeah.
I've just been told I can't take the 50.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is we talk about, taking cash that's perhaps not real money. I get that, but I would bet you that there's more counterfeit debit cards that are being used than counterfeit cash.
Well, or stolen.
Right. There's no way to take an orange pen and put it across your debit card to make sure it's your debit card, but they'll do it with your $10 bill to make sure it's real. But, you know, so that's unfortunate. A small number of people make it rough for the rest of us, but we'll make it. We'll figure it out. What else is going on? UABsports.com, UABsports.com. Go to the website. It's got everything on it. I know we're well into baseball, softball, the whole nine yards. What else is going down at UAB right now?
Yeah, you know, baseball just beat Alabama on the road Tuesday night, which was great. Went over and really controlled the game, the whole game over in Tuscaloosa. We had played them here, six, 8 weeks ago at home here at Regions Field. And it was a great game that we ultimately lost, but it was a close game most of the game. So I was glad, you know, Casey Dunn's a great coach who we're lucky to have. And we've got to continue to improve our baseball facilities so that we can be great at really great at baseball, because we could be. But, you know, really proud of him. The American Conference is tough. in large part due to the people coming out of Conference USA. Conference USA baseball was really, really good. And so kind of the best really of all the sports coming out of the, out of CUSA is what went to the American. When you look at the top teams in men's and women's basketball, the top teams in baseball and softball, they're all the CUSA teams. Yeah. You know, so softball right now, I think we're tied. We might be sitting at fifth, but we're like one game out of second. Wow. You know, there's a cluster of teams at the top, and it's Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, North Texas, us, and Tulsa. So one of the five was in the old American. The other mm-hmm. four are all out of the CUSA. So softball's playing great. They're a little up and down, but they've had a good year. So we'll see how they both finish out.
How many programs are there in collegiate baseball? I'll say women's softball. Is it 300, 200? Well, how many is it?
Baseball would be a higher number than softball, but you know, basketball is 360.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're quite there, but I think it's.
A reason I was going to ask is
I don't know the answer to your question. I don't want to give you a number and be wrong, but it's a lot.
No, yeah. I mean, obviously people want to see UAB play Alabama in anything and everything. Unfortunately, we can't do it in football for whatever reason, but you want to see them play each other in everything from hatchet throwing to whatever. And I was wondering from a schedule standpoint, you obviously have to play the schools that are inside your conference, but how do you make up your non-conference schedule?
They're all different. The coaches do it in every sport but football. And in football, I do that. Our CFO, Bryant Carter, he and I work with the coach to discuss, because you do it so far out. Like, we have non-conference games for the next 8 years scheduled. And so we put that out there. You're sitting there, you're going, okay, well, who are we going to play in 9 years? You really don't have any idea how good anybody's going to be. So you're completely betting on, what's your strategy? Do we need to play tougher opponents? Because the way the CFP works, we want to make sure that we've played and hopefully beaten a tough opponent. Or do we just need to get wins? Let's get wins and get a bowl, you know, try to get to a bowl game. When you look at when football was eliminated at UAB in 14, at the end of 14, all of our schedule got completely wiped clean. Mm-hmm. All the other teams got let out of their contracts. And we actually had to pay to get out of some of the contracts ourselves. But we were when we were going to restart, you know, and play in 2017, we had to scramble to find games. Well, at that time, considering that, you know, we had like 20 people on the football team, had no idea what we were going to end up being. Me and the football staff just said, hey, let's just try to find what we think will be the easiest wins we could get, or the easiest competition that we could potentially win. Because really, at our level, you're versus say the SEC, where we were at that time, it's just about, can you get to a bowl game? The measurement of success was really, did you get to go to a bowl game? How many bowl games have you been to? It's not about how far did you go. Did you get to the CFP? Mm-hmm. Because that wasn't even, possible.
Yeah.
But at that time, it wasn't even possible. Now it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's not unrealistic, but hard. So it's still, in large part, can you get to a bowl game? But we were trying to schedule based on of what's available. And it didn't mean that those teams weren't good. It was just, hey, we're going to, do you want to play Akron or do you want to play Houston? Or do you want to play Akron or Central Florida? Well, Akron. That didn't mean we're going to beat Akron.
Do you think scheduled?
We scheduled Liberty. Listen, we scheduled Liberty.
I know.
Going out of the FCS.
Who would have thunk, right?
Yeah, I mean, same thing with Coastal Carolina. We split with Coastal Carolina and we lost both of them to Liberty.
Sean,
that was completely based on they're coming out of the FCS and we think maybe we could get a win.
Do you see scheduling changing at all in college football now the fact you're going to have 12 teams? I mean, that's a lot of teams.
What's happening is the SEC and the Big Ten are both likely to move to a 9-game conference schedule. Mm-hmm. So that will make playing those teams really, really hard because there's fewer games available. Yeah. There's a 12-game schedule. If the SEC says within themselves, nine of them are this, and they go, okay, and then of the other three, you got to play a power five from somewhere else. That only leaves two games per school. Well, there's 60 of us trying to get games, 64 of us trying to get those games. And then if they, but they might also say, well, you could play an FCS team. Well, now that becomes, you know, however many FCS programs there are out there. You know, so fighting over, you know, if there's 120 schools fighting over 48 games, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That's
going to make it even harder to schedule.
He's the athletic director of UAB. Go Blazers. Mark Ingram joins us every single week right here on the TKR app and where, of course, you get your podcast. Special guest coming up here. We had, of course, coach of your UAB Blazers, Trent Ofer, on just a couple weeks ago. Andy Kennedy will join the show coming up here. Now that things are cooling off in baskets in the next couple weeks as well. We always talk some classic rock, too. I always love these lists that come out, but they came out with the National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress. They come out with a list of six, seven, eight, nine songs that are songs that just changed the world as we know it. This particular year, you had Dancing Queen from ABBA make it, Blondie, Heart of Glass made it in, the Cars album Green Day made it in, Notorious B.I.G. had a song made it in, just in the past, Cheap Trick Live at Budokan made it in, Journey Don't Stop Believin', which I totally agree, Deja Vu from Crosby, Stills, Nash has made it in, Flashdance, What a Feeling from Irene Cara. That song's made it into the registry. I believe there's a about 600 to 650 songs that have made it in. And while I can agree on some of these, like Gene Autry's Frosty the Snowman made it in this year, which that song changed the world. I mean, the world would not be the same without that song. And so I was thinking to myself, what are Mark Ingram's songs for him that create the world that he lives in? In other words, without this song, the world would be a different place. Now, I'm just going to use Stairway to Heaven as an example. Because everyone's going to say Stairway to Heaven. I don't think the world would be any different without Stairway to Heaven. I don't. I don't think the world would be that much different if Led Zeppelin never created that record. I don't think the earth would be tilted off its axis. I don't think it'd be any different. I don't think it'd be much different. Obviously, it's a great song. But as far as in a world changer for me, I don't see that. So I wanted you to give me a listing of your songs that perhaps you can actually think that they actually changed the world for you. What are some of those songs that actually would change the world for you? I don't know if you have any, and you always have that smaller list of songs that you like to do.
Well, I've got six. We didn't really talk a ton about it. You sent me that text. And so I put down six songs that I thought changed music. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I changed the world. That I thought were really important to sort of the evolution of especially rock and roll, which we usually talk about a lot. So 1954 Elvis, That's All Right. That was his first hit. And when Elvis, you know, when Elvis Presley hit the scene, his sound, his look, the way he danced was a total game changer in music. And people thought he was, you know, satanic and, completely inappropriate. His dancing was inappropriate and everything. But I thought that was a major turning point in music.
I like that.
Same thing with a couple years later, 1962, the Beatles, their first hit, Love Me Do. And it's not about that song per se, but yeah, kind of. And you see, so now these, funny, call them long-haired guys, and you look at them, you know, their hair was just like to hear, you know,
and they wore suits too.
That was they wore suits.
Yeah,
but they're these moppy-haired guys, as they were called, and you see the audience, just particularly young women, just screaming over these guys because they'd never heard sounds like this. Similar to Elvis, they'd never heard a guitar sound the way it sounds. Which leads me really to my next one and almost my favorite of this group, which was Johnny B. Goode by Chuck Berry.
Wow. Yeah.
The way that Chuck Berry played the guitar at that time was so different than everybody else. It was so much more aggressive.
Remember Back to the Future when Michael J. Fox was playing the guitar and the guy's like, hey, you know, you're looking for that new sound. Listen to this. And it's like,
Yeah. And everybody in the audience is like, what is he playing? But it was awesome. Right. And I still love that song, and I think that was a major shift in rock music, Chuck Berry, and also because of the fact he's an African American. I mean, I think that was also a big deal at that time. Okay, so off of rock now, moving forward, Michael Jackson's Thriller was a, you know, that was a song to me that that everybody in the country knew that song. I don't say everybody liked it. Who knows if everybody liked it, but it's a very well-liked song that was super popular for a long, long time. And it wasn't just that song, but also that was at a time when MTV Music Television actually did videos and music videos.
There was a disclaimer on that video. Remember, there was a disclaimer, like a movie disclaimer. Because the video itself was like, what, 23 minutes long or something like that?
Really long.
Yeah, but the Motion Pictures Academy actually put like a PG rating on that because it was kind of scary. There were some scary parts of that. First of all, Michael Jackson was a guy.
Yeah, great video. Was a total like game changer in the music video industry too, that they became these huge productions. Like it was a story that went along with the song.
Spent like $2 million making that video, which at the time was like $2 million making a video. And by the way, do you realize that song never made it to number one?
Did it not?
That album was so on fire from start to finish that, you know, we had this thing called AOR, Album Oriented Rock. It was radio stations that would get an album out and we would go deep. We wouldn't wait for the record labels to say, listen, you need to play the third song on the second side. That's going to be your next single. Yeah. We'd go past the singles and we'd play three or four songs deep. And some people didn't like that because if you got out there too early, you burned the music out before it actually got released. In that particular case, everyone was playing Thriller because it was right around Halloween and they burned that tune out. And then when it was finally released as a single, I think it went to number two, but never went to number one.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. Okay. I got two more for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a huge Van Halen fan. I kind of contemplated the album 1984 and the song Jump, which I do think is big, but I did not put them on my list. A song that I did put on my list of a similar time period, 1987, when the album Appetite for Destruction came out, and specifically the song Welcome to the Jungle. That song has been used and reused. I mean, there are sports teams. You hear that all the time, continue to hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. The Cincinnati Bengals still run out to that song. I'm sure a ton of other, you know, teams around high schools and whatever who are the Tigers are playing that song. That has become, I don't know that I realized it at the time, but that I think now, I think that particular song was really a monster.
Great list. I did a list of songs. Someone, and I guess it was last year when the National Recording Registry came out and people wanted to know what my favorite 10 songs were, whatever. And that was one of the songs. I think that song, although I don't have it on this list here, that song has changed so much in just sports alone. I mean, I mean, that song opens up, you hear that at Clemson, you hear wherever you have an animal, if you have a tiger or something, you're going to hear Welcome to Jungle sometime during the game. So that's fantastic.
I have one more.
Yeah.
My last one, which is really the first song that I thought of. As soon as you asked about it, the first song that I thought of was Queen, We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You. And I think that one for me is the biggest one of all the ones that I mentioned. That is by far the biggest one.
You're spot on. Again, that's not on my list. It was on that list I did about a year ago, and I'm so glad you brought it up. But that is another one. The world would be a different place without that song.
Yeah.
Not only because it's a great song, but because you can sing along with it, because you hear it everywhere, because you can stomp your feet and make it happen. And it's and at the beginning of it, I remember the first time I heard it, I thought it's such an easy song at the beginning of it. It's like, but no one thought to do it that way. And it's just a great song. And, you know, I always wish that the beginning, I wish the first song, because you played both songs back to back, right? And I always loved the fact that the first one just rocked and the second one was so mellow. The We Are the Champions part that I almost didn't want to hear the second cut. I just wanted to stop. I wanted to hear the first one a little long because it just was so good. That's awesome. Yeah. That's a great list. I went with American Pie.
Love that.
Yeah.
Great pick.
First song to go number one that was over 5 minutes. It did change the world because that day in history changed the world. And it's just a great song.
It's like a historical, rock history song by itself.
It is. The world would be a totally different place if American Pie wasn't out. And I venture to guess there's a lot of people that wouldn't even know who the Big Bopper is without, you know, American Pie. So I'm going to go American Pie.
Such a bopper.
Well, it's not one of my favorite songs. It's certainly a game changer because it was anti-religious, it was anti-nationalist, it was anti-capitalistic, it was anti-concealing, it was everything. It was Imagine from John Lennon. And the idea that he played that song, and then, of course, what, several months later, he ends up getting assassinated, and the song was all about peace, is just a huge song. And it's funny because this morning I was dropping my kids up at school and someone had a shirt that said Imagine on it with a picture of John Lennon on it. I'm thinking, you know, these kids may not even know who John Lennon is, but they're wearing his t-shirt that says Imagine. I had to think three or four times about this, but because I could probably hear it year round, but All I Want for Christmas. I mean, that song from Mariah Carey I think this would be a different world without that song. You'd have a spot like two or three times an hour on every radio station in the country because that song plays about two or three times an hour for at least 2 months straight. if you had told me 20 years ago that there's going to be a new Christmas song that's going to be bigger than any Christmas song that we've ever heard, I would say you're crazy. That ship has sailed. It's over. We've had Gene Autry. We've had Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for 100 years. How could someone possibly write a brain? We had Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer that I guess, you know, was so goofy and funny that everyone thought that was kind of, but that even petered out. That's not even funny anymore. It's not cool. Yeah. But that song from Mariah Carey is by far the number one selling Christmas song of all time. It is huge. And
it's third to Hard Candy Christmas and Blue Christmas.
I certainly agree with that. But as far as the sales goes, it is number one. And she even does the thaw out thing now, where she's in a block of ice. You ever see the Mariah Carey thaw out?
Not seen that.
She does the thaw out where she's actually in a brick of ice and they start thawing it out until they play that song for the first time every single year. And then I think, it's called the Mariah Carey thaw out. It's unbelievable. I'm going to go with Freebird just because I almost have to. Not only because I think a lot of cases it's interesting when people are willing to play the live version of a song more than the studio version, only just because it's better. And a lot of times they don't because the live version was 14 minutes long. The studio version was 9.5. But you still can't go to a concert, not have someone put their blick up and say Freebird.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere you go, someone says Freebird. Someone's going to say Freebird. And I think the world would be a different place without Freebird. A song that I hear every week, somewhere. I heard it published yesterday. More Than a Feeling from Boston.
Oh, it's a great one.
Song.
Ladies and gentlemen, live on the TKR. Look at who we got. Head coach, Andy Kennedy.
Hey, Andy Kennedy, what's up, brother? How are you? What's up, coach?
Oh, beautiful. What are you talking? Hey, man, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. How are you?
Terrific.
We are talking about songs that change the world. I had We Will Rock You.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He just said Boston.
Boston, More Than a Feeling. Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas. We got
Bob Marley, One Love.
Ooh, Bob Marley, One Love. Very That's good. That very good. We got Freebird in here.
John is certainly a game changer.
What's that?
I said a different genre, obviously, but certainly a game changer.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we talked about Elvis.
Yeah.
American Pie.
Michael Jackson, Thriller.
I said Thriller.
You did. You and Coach are on the same line.
American Pie.
Yeah. American Pie. Imagine from John Lennon.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, we got more time. We need to get you in the mix here because we do some classic rock every week here on this UAB Director's Chair podcast. I'd love to get your thoughts on some of this stuff.
Beautiful. Good to see you, man.
Great season, man. Thanks for all you do.
Hey, thank you.
Go Blazers. There he is. Andy Kennedy joins us right
there. There he is.
There you go.
Andy Kennedy.
There you go. That's just a typical day for you, man. Just sitting there and just walks in the door. I had More Than a Feeling. I also had the Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
That song sounds like everything else that came out after it. But I remember the first time I heard that song, I actually thought, wow, this is really different. I just remember it really sounded and I just could not believe that someone hadn't thought to play music that way. And then, of course, they called it grunge, which is kind of interesting. I thought Baby Shark.
Come on, man.
I said I thought. I didn't put it on there. I thought I Love You from Barney. Song's been around for a long time. People love it. And the world would be a different place without it, but I didn't put it on there. But I did put Over the Rainbow from Judy Garland on there. Okay. Because anytime you see, you know, the voice.
The Wizard of Oz is a classic.
It's a classic. And I mean, that song is just, it still makes me cry, but those are a list of some of the songs. So if you've got any list of songs you want to hear, or perhaps you think should be on our list or not, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, or email us any questions about UAB Sports. Of course, go to UABSports.com. UABSports.com. You never know who's going to join the show. We had Trent on a couple weeks ago. Get Andy on. We'll get him on the show. And I have a feeling that perhaps we're going to be working on something maybe a little bit later on this summer with everyone involved. I'm just beyond excited about. So it's going to be fantastic. So good stuff. Thank you, sir. Have yourself a wonderful week.
Hey, you do the same. See you guys.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.